All right. Welcome to the precepts class. We'll be doing eight classes over the next few months leading up to the Kai retreat. Let's start with the verse, please make special. May the sacred presence of the one who said he would abide in his teaching be our guide. May we follow his glorious, how does this go? Example. His glorious was this noble path that until we too shall attain enlightenment. All Buddhas throughout space and time, all honored ones, Bodhisattvas, Mahasattvas, wisdom beyond wisdom, Maha Prajna Paramita. All right. My name is Kakamio. What's your name?
My name is Mitchu.
Awesome. One thing about this class is that it's going to be fairly participatory, and the fact that we're doing this like together in Sangha is really a key part of it. And so I know there's a lot of people in the room, but I want to know who you are. And I know some of you, but not all of you. So could we go around and like kind of rapid fire just do names? That's right. But in a little kind of serpentine our way through. How about that? Justin.
Allie, Janice, Kevin, Tara, Amy, Karen, Simone, Gwen, Yoga, Robert, Jack,
Derek,
Nico,
Jeff,
Mark,
Autumn,
Chitsu.
Yeah,
Sokchu, Donio, Kevin, Katie.
Me, Rick, John. Hello.
Thank you. I am not going to remember all those names. But maybe you'll remember my name, Minshu. So welcome everybody. As Kakumio said, this is the first of eight classes on the Bodhisattva precepts. The last class will be on February the 25th. And after that last class, a few days after that last class, between March the 2nd and the 8th, Daiji Kai retreat. And at the end of that retreat, there will be a ceremony. And for those wishing to take the precepts formally, Kakumio will go more into that afterwards. There will be an opportunity. You don't have to take the precepts to do this class. I did this class maybe 5 or 6 years in a row and never took the precepts. And then eventually I took the precepts because that was the right time for me. But you may never take the precepts. That's totally fine. It's something that's available to everybody, and that's it. So I do want to go over just an outline of what we're going to be doing in the class, just the rhythm of the class, how it's going to go. So after our little break, we're going to come in. This is a highly interactive class. So your input is both wanted and encouraged. Oh, I forgot to bring my books. I had a few books to recommend for people who like reading, but I will bring them next time. There's not going to be a lot of reading. So it's nice to recommend some books because some of us really like reading, and that's how we learn. The way we're going to learn in this class is a much, much more improved way of learning. It's interacting with one another. That's a great way of learning. Most weeks we'll follow the same format. We'll get settled after our little break, check in with any insights from the previous week or some insights from some homework that we're going to assign you. After that, we'll delve into some new material, break up into small groups. There's going to be a lot of moving around. I expect we'll probably move into groups of three. We might move into multiple groups. We might have one question with one group and then ask you to move again. So there's going to be a lot of physical movement as well in this class. And that's an opportunity to not only interact with lots of people, it's kind of, it's fun as well. And this work is profound, but there's no reason why it can't be fun as well. So after that, we're given time, we may come together in a bigger group, and that will be more interactive. If we have time for that, then we can assign homework, and then we're always going to finish at 9 o'clock. After 9 o'clock, if you'd like to join us for Vespers, Vespers lasts about 10 minutes, and you're welcome to join us for that. I do want to, so when we're in small groups, I do want to suggest that it's easy for it to get conversational, and I like it to, when we're in those small groups and we're sharing, it's really nice to have like active listening and listen to what people are saying and not make it a conversation. Unless we do make it a conversation, sometimes we might make it a conversation, but generally it's somebody sharing and it's a couple of people actively listening. And if there's some judgment that comes up in that, that's like, that's awesome. Like gold star for you. If you notice the judgment, don't act on the judgment. This is not a place for judgment. But if you notice it, that's good. That's kind of what we're learning. We're learning to like that interior world, like notice that interior world. But I really like that to be like a little safe space for people to express themselves and not have any fear of somebody trying to judge or get into a conversation. It's just expressing, okay? That's basic. That's basically how that's going to go. Okay. The next thing, I tend to write big, so it looks like I've got pages and pages of notes, but there's actually not very many notes. So that's that. Okay, so precepts. So at the top of the note of my page here, I've got... we're complicated. So if you didn't know that already, I'm here to announce to you, you're all very complicated, okay? So you may have not heard that before, but we are. So at certain points in our lives, may think, oh God, wouldn't it be great if there was like a code I could knock out, or a formula, or a set of rules that I could like refer to, and they'd tell me what to do when I had like difficult decisions, and they'd always tell me the right thing to do, and then I would life would be easy, and then I would get everything I want, and good things would happen, you know, like some kind of like magic number or something, you know what I mean? So I want to warn you that the precepts is not that. It's not going to be. It's not that. Okay. So if you are looking for like that thing, it's not that. It is magical, but not in that way. All right. So the precepts, they're going to give you insight into how you act in the world, right? And that is so much more valuable than anything else, because like when we know how we act in the world, well, for one, we can change the world. Changing the world begins with like how we act in the world. But just like that first noticing of how we act in the world, like we can eventually have the choices to make changes in how we act in the world. And that's like an amazingly profound thing. So it isn't like a magic thing, but it is really profound and useful. Yeah. So the other thing I want to say is like, so sometimes when we're working with the precepts, it's kind of shocking, like how when we start like shining that light inward and using the precepts, it's kind of shocking how we're unable to, like how we're breaking the precepts all the time. Like we're kind of surprised, like how ridiculously bad we are at keeping the precepts. So failure is kind of woven into the precepts in many ways, you know, but I don't want to please don't leave the building right now. We're all going to fail together in these next 8 weeks, like in our own little way. And then we're going to share, and we're going to like, it's like profound stuff. It's like, we're failing together. It's going to be good. Right. So one of the big lessons of the precepts is compassion, you know? And so I want us to have like compassion for ourselves, like be gentle with ourselves this week, these next 8 weeks. It's easy to be kind of like get down on yourself, like, but compassion is going to ring all the way through these precepts. And have compassion for yourself, and let's not beat ourselves up, and let's learn and have some fun doing it. Okay, I'm going to do a quick brief history of the Buddhist precepts too. It's very quick. I think it's really important. So two things. It's really important, like how these teachings got here to this temple. You should have like just a background of that. And it's also important to know that this has been, human beings have been working with this material for more than 2,500 years. And that's like mind blowing. Like, if it had not been useful in any way at all, like, how possibly could it have been going on for 2,500 years? That's just like amazing, and you should know that. The Buddha lived and taught around 500 years before the Common Era. So there was an original five precepts. They existed before the Buddha started teaching. These precepts were rooted in ancient Indian traditions, emphasizing restraint to promote well-being. So the Buddha incorporated those precepts, and when the community started getting bigger, the precepts just as an organizing tool and to further his other teachings, the precepts were expanded. They eventually came up with 253 precepts, which, thank God, we're not studying 253 precepts, but we're not. So at some point, it was like a grand amount of precepts. Those teachings with the precepts like were exported to China. The Chinese kind of refined it down to 58 precepts sometime during the 5th century. You know, they had a different system. Every culture kind of has emphasized different things in Buddhist teachings. And what was apparent for the Chinese at that time was 58 precepts worked for them. So Dogen trained in the founder of Soto Zen, the Japanese monk who went to China to train. He brought all the teachings and the precepts with him to Japan. When he was setting up his communities, he dwindled it down to 16 precepts. And these are the same 16 precepts that we learn here at this temple. So this has been a long journey for this material here. And I want to just honor like how long that's been useful for. That's like amazing, you know? Okay. That might be it for me right now. I will be back. I don't know what you've got there, but I think maybe you're going to talk about
something.
Probably.
People taking the precepts and that kind of stuff.
Sure.
Ah, I've noticed them. Mm-hmm.
You look so big. Okay, great. I want to add a wee bit on the history part. So precepts are really about like big picture here. These are the ethical teachings in Buddhism. How we behave, how we interact with ourselves and others. When Minshew's referencing there's different versions in the Vinaya of 253 or there's up into the 300s. There's a lot of different rules. Those aren't really precepts. Those are like standards of behavior. And it's more about how that community, like the monastic community, exists in relation to itself. These are how they recognize their behavior. And so that got quite involved over some centuries of people making mistakes and realizing, oh, we need another rule about that. That's kind of like, I just want to like distinguish between these two different kinds of noticing behavior. One is really like has to do with you know, what's moral, what's ethical. One is has to do with like how they're close, but how we relate to others and how we like hold a form. And in, you know, when the transition to China happened, basically they got rid of the huge number of precepts of the Vinaya because they started using a schedule and started training communally. And so there was a monastic, there were monastic regulations which took the place of the Vinaya. And then the precepts as the ethical teaching were elevated and became more clear there. And I don't think I'm going to add anything to the Japan tradition, but I just wanted to kind of make that point about the, like, how the Vinaya is a little bit different from precepts. It's more about how they recognize themselves. Whereas here, we recognize there's Dharma rain forms. There's a schedule that we follow. There's a liturgical calendar. There's all these things that kind of tell us how we behave in a group that creates this particular container. That's a structure that is supportive to practice. So we recognize that, we can describe that, but it's relates to, but it's different from precepts. Any questions so far before we change topics a little bit? Okay. I'm talking about Daijukai. And just sort of like the process of taking the precepts here. So taking the precepts over time has been a key part of big transitions in Buddhism. Like when you, in Zen, like any major transition is celebrated by taking the precepts in life. The taking the precepts as we're talking about it here. I mean, it's just from what I'm saying there is that like, this is pretty prominent, in Zen. It's synonymous with becoming a Buddhist is, you know, taking the precepts. That's how when, back 2,500 years ago when Shakyamuni first, took a student, ordained someone, the ceremony was, will you take refuge in the Buddha, the Dharma, and the Sangha? And people would say that, and that was it. That was how they took the precepts. That's how they became ordained. It's gotten more complicated, but it's that same basic pivot of taking refuge in this way. So there's a couple things we do in order to make sure that this is a significant pivot. We want this to matter for people. We want it to have real motivational impact. And we want this process to add clarity to how you make decisions in your life. We support it by having this series of classes, by creating this cohort of people who are engaging in this kind of discernment and investigation about who they are and how they relate to the world. We have a week-long retreat at the end of this, which is an opportunity to delve more deeply in a contemplative manner, using silence and a lot of meditation to really see clearly. And the theme for that is precepts. If you've ever done a sesshin, like what happens is like you show up there and you bring stuff with you and that plays out. So you get to see yourself really clearly over the course of a week of silence. And it adds a certain add some depth to this process. It's not required if you want to take the precepts in March, but you can't get that time off or whatever. That's okay, but it's an option. Also, we can attend part of it. You also have to let me know. I happen to be giving the precepts this year, and so if you're interested, we need to have a one-on-one conversation about that. And that's a way for me to just understand who you are and why this might be important to you, and ask some questions about that. And for you, that's a chance to kind of like, get a sense of who I am and the temple is, and it helps kind of refine and clarify that interest, that intent. Hopefully, that's the goal there. So that's the basic process that we're kicking off tonight. The other thing that is worth noting is that every third year, like normally we do Jukai, and every third year we do Dai Jukai. Dai just means big. So this is the extra special version. And it just means that there's, it just means, it, what it means is that there's more ceremonies during the week of Sesshin. There's not many temples in the United States that do this whole set, but we do, and it's been part of this tradition, and it's pretty involved, and there's a lot embedded in them. And so we're going to go through all that this year, and it's a good time. There's some pretty good pyrotechnics. There's some there's some pretty good stagecraft. In this class, like we're going to be talking about it and relating about it, but the ceremonies are kind of subliminal. Like they really they communicate on a whole different bandwidth, and so it's a nice adjunct, I would say. So, questions there? Yes. After class, just find me, and we can find a time that would work for both of us. Yeah. Great. Yeah. Yeah. I think you're going to talk about recollection and visual camera.
Oh, shoot. Yeah. Okay.
So, there is some homework we'd like to talk about. The Kyoji timeline is on the website, isn't it? I think I looked at it. Okay. So if you go to the website and you put in precepts, I believe, there's a link there to the Kyoji Kaiman, which is that the material that we chanted together today. Is there some of those?
Okay. In the sutra books that you have next to you, it's also the some of your penalties on the shelf in the entryway when you leave.
Okay, so there's a couple of ways you can get that then. So here's what we'd like you to do. So there's a couple of different ways to do this. Way one, the preferred way is you have a copy of the Kyoji Kaima, and in the morning you're able to find time to recite that, all of it, and speak it, not just read it quietly. If you're able to, it would be awesome if you were able, if your living situation, you were able to a place where you can meditate, or a private room where you can recite everything that we've recited there today in the Kyoji Kaima. And don't try and understand it. Don't try and pick it apart or like just kind of run through it without just thinking about it. Just run through the whole thing. And then if you have a normal program where you have some morning meditation before you start the day, that would be great. That's the only, you're not really investigating it. You're just letting those words just wash over you. And then later in the day, after you've had your normal day, we'd like you to just go through the day, just slowly rewind through the day and look for those moments where there just might have been some friction, doesn't it? That's too big a word. Just some kind of like awkwardness or cringe or tightness or some moments where something in the day kind of rubbed you the wrong way, and just kind of like make note of it. You don't want to analyze it again. Just kind of try and go through the day. And if you, we'd like you to do that every day and just kind of get used to that pattern. Just get used to that pattern of just going through the flow of the day and just registering things, feelings in the body, especially feelings in the body, but just like it doesn't need to be huge things, but huge things obviously are going to come up quickly. But recall the whole day as you can through your mind. Let's just leave it. Do you leave it at that, or do you want to give them? Yeah, because then we'll come back together and we'll just kind of see how that goes through the week. And we can refine that as the weeks go on. But if you could do that, I think that would be really useful. And we can talk about that next week. Well, I actually won't be here next week. You and Kakumi can talk about that next week. But I will be asking about it the following week. So don't forget what you told him. No, we'll be doing that. We're going to be doing that this whole time. This really useful practice, for this whole 8 weeks. It's really useful practice. So there, that's that.
Recitation, reading this. Recollection is remembering the day and noticing there's no friction.
Mm. Yeah, don't try and get involved in them. Just like noticing. Okay, should we break up into groups right now?
Yeah.
Okay, so. Here's your task here. So there's a lot of people here right now. So I want you to find groups of three, if possible. Four may be okay, but ideally it's three. And during this whole 8 weeks we're going to be doing this together, we're going to have a chance to be with everybody in the room. So it's not so important right now who you're with, but please foster yourself into groups of three in the room if you could. Okay. Thank you. Okay, so this is what I'd like you to share with each other right now. So I'd like you to take turns right now. Just have a moment to think and then take turns. And I'd like you to share what are some of the factors that currently guide your moral decision making.
Two more minutes.
Yes.
Okay, hopefully everybody had enough time there. Thank you. Okay, we're going to, let's get some practice in for changing groups, because this is what we're going to be doing for 8 weeks. So let's see how smoothly you can find roughly two other people that are not the two people in front of you right now. Let's get ourselves in different groups. Okay, how are we doing? Four is okay if you're a straggler and you're okay. Excellent. Are we all good? Excellent. See, I told you this is going to be fun. Okay, so here's the next question. Okay, so the rules are slightly different here because there can be some inquisitive conversations going on. Okay, so what we'd like to know is, why do I need the precepts? Have a think about that. And so, okay, so we want you to try and be as specific as you can. Okay, and if you're not being specific, maybe the other people in the group can inquire gently a little bit more to try and get specific, okay? Okay, so have a few moments to think about that, and then whoever would like to go first, please go ahead and share your thoughts on that. Thank you.
Find engagement. Not today, I'll think of another thing. Yes, you reframed it.
Terms of
how might it be useful? And the question was, why do we need it?
Yeah.
Why does one have to have a person? And that's I think. So it's thinking, like, do I really need a reminder not to?
Yeah.
Do I really need a reminder not to? Because I was kind of empty. Sometimes I am, but I think what popped into my head was oftentimes it's the connection of the behavior, the precept, to the rest of, I guess I'm going to say into the rest of the is unclear, you know, like you get something like the precept action, and then like, you know, we get, you know, Dogen's and some poetry, and it sort of like fills out the relationships to the other things. And so sometimes it's like useful or it's necessary, not because I like have a problem with that or something, or not fine. But it's like, what's the relationship of that to, you know, the rest of everything that we do?
Killing.
Although sometimes I think our, like one of the things that I think might, so far, you know, the relationship to actual practice and to what kinds of ideas you have, I think sometimes we'll make things, the precepts, so subtle that it takes us off in a direction that might not be very useful. And really, you know, as Dave, it really is like, lots of people kill each other, and especially at the time of the building, you know, there's a lot of killing, and a lot of, I mean, actual killing. And so it really is like going to kill someone, as well as other things. Now, how far you go in trying to make it metaphorical and extracting all sorts of subtle things. But I guess my point is, it's not one thing that I think I need them for. It's just an examination of the relationship between those things and other things like no self and, you know, other the rest of the stuff that was, I don't know, I'm trying to push myself rather than to something really simple. Oh, it's a good to have a reminder now. Or it's a good to have a reminder to think subtly about, you know.
Answer the question that you wanted. I also find myself here to because I think there are very, you know, including ones that are completely
okay, a couple of more minutes. 2 more minutes.
Maybe 13 or 14 years. Certainly the world is different now.
I think it's like
had this discussion with young people also is that when no society can function without some shared implicit
Stop it.
Here's that. But I'm also thinking about, you know, you don't have to, it's not like a day to say, gee, right? It's just like, you don't need to tell me that I'm being white. Our society and the country of people are going to be doing it grace.
Okay, thank you. If we could rustle back to our original seats. Thank you. Wow, I have to congratulate you on, that was like watching one of those fast motion, like, you know, it all went back to like, oh, nothing happened here. Everything's just exactly the same. Okay, thank you for indulging our experiment there. We will carry on with that. But I have a question for you. So think back to when it was your turn to answer those two questions, and I'd like to you to put yourself back in that moment there. What was it? Did it matter what you said? Was it important to like say the right thing or say something correct? So how did that go? Did it change between the first question and the second question? So it didn't matter? I think I was more concerned if it mattered to you, like if there was some turmoil about how you would answer, like what it was like for you. Yeah, what was it like for you?
I was searching for approval from the people listening.
And that's very subtle, that isn't it? It's like we're looking for like facial expressions or movements and like just to get that, okay, it's okay. I can keep speaking, yeah.
It's really vulnerable stuff to be exploring this in group. And so we just wanted to make that really visible off the get-go that we're doing this together. We have to trust each other. And, you know, that's part of this territory. I want it to be an okay thing to explore that and notice that, like, we have a whole, like, rich array of responses to that kind of tension. And the more familiar we are with those, the less we're compelled by it. So that's the arc of precepts generally. More clarity is, you know, equals more freedom. So that's where we're headed. That's probably the closing thought.
Yeah.
That's the best phrase.
Yes.